We are towards the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph. Let's review the first pasuk. Pasuk Aleph. Just to review, Vani b'shnas achas l'doyev shamodi. The Malach Daniel. Perek Yud Aleph.
Perek Yud Aleph.
The 11th perek. So let's review the first. We're at the pasuk base, but let's review the first pasuk very quickly. Vani b'shnas achas l'doyev shamodi. The Malach is speaking. The Malach says it was the first year of Daryovish Hamodi, Omdi Lemachazik Ulimozlo. If we view this pasuk as a continuation of the previous parak, according to Rashi and according to the Mitsudos, the Malach is saying that I stood there and strengthened Michael. Michael is the Sar, is the Sar of Klal Yisrael, as it says in the last pasuk in Parak Yud, Michael Sarchem. Gavriel tells Daniel, give me some credit. I helped him out. I was there to give assistance to be mechazek and strengthen Michael in his defense of Klal Yisrael to put down the nation of Paras, or the Sar, the guardian angel of Paras. They should not have the power to bring harm upon Klal Yisrael. And I told you yesterday that there's another interpretation. Lemo'oz lo doesn't only mean Lemo'oz lo, as Rashi and the Mitzudas explain in reference to Michael, that I, Garvil, was there to give strength to Michael, but also coming low to the nation of Modai, to Daryovish. I was an advocate of Daryovish HaModi, because I knew that he would have been good for the Jews. He would have been an excellent world leader, would have brought about wonderful things for the Jewish nation and for the world in general. And I was there to advocate on his behalf. But unfortunately, he did not last very long. Daryovish HaModi only lasted for 1 year. He was killed in battle. I'm not exactly clear which battle he was killed, who he was fighting at this time. Maybe there was some fringe diehards from the nation of Babel still alive. And they were still pockets of the Babylonians that were still around. They were fighting against Daryovish, or maybe there were some other wars that were taking place. It's a big world. It's a big world out there. Maybe Ashur, maybe Mitzrayim, maybe Aram, who knows. There was some type of war that took place in Daryovish. Hamodi's life came to an end. He was 62 years old. So that means he was 63 years old when he died. He was 62 years old when he took power. And he himself noted that he's too old to be king. And but nevertheless, he did take up the reins of Malchus for at least that 1 year. And then when he died, the Malchus was transferred to his son-in-law, Koresh. And with that began the Malchus of Paras. Now, although there was an alliance, from the very beginning, between Modai and Paras. The original arrangement was when Modai, Daryovish HaModi, seized power from Babel, that they would alternate power between these two nations, Modai and Paras. The Gemara says the agreement was there's something called the king, something called the governor. What their roles are exactly, it's not clear. It's a lower level of control of authority. There's a division of power, but the arrangement was that they would alternate. The king would first come from Modai, and the governors would come from the nation of from the other nation, Paras. And then when the king of Modai would die, then the Malchus would be transferred to the nation of Paras, and the governors would come from the nation of Modai. Now, it was meant to be that after Koresh, the first king of Paras, died, it was meant to be that the power would be restored to Modai. The king would now be selected from the nation of Modai, and the governors would then come from Paras. However, we know that once a person has a hold of power, you don't give it up so quickly. So Paras, the nation of Paras, they reneged. They were not true to their word. They did not relinquish power. They kept the power for themselves. And the Malchus continued to come from the nation of Paras for the next, for how many years was it? It was about 45 years. Approximately 45 years did Paras stay in power. Okay, we'll see more, maybe more about 50 years. Okay, we'll see the numbers soon. Then comes the Yavan. So here we have here against Lemo'oz lo, two interpretations, Rashi and the Mitzudos, Michael Or lo means dar yavish, but now he died. I'm now up the pasuk base. Perik yud aleph pasuk base. Now dar yavish dies, and here enters the malach Gavriel, and he says to the Nil the following: Va'ata now emes agid loch. I will tell you the truth. Hine, behold, od shlosha melachim oimdim lefaras. There will be three more kings to paras. V'horavi'i. And the fourth king, Yashir Oysher Gadol Mikol, will become extremely wealthy, will succeed in acquiring enormous wealth. And when he reaches his peak in his wealth, when he strengthens himself in his wealth, he has all the money of the world, and there are no limitations. He can hire and conscript the largest army. He can purchase the best weapons. There is nothing that is not at his disposal. Yo'ir hakol, he will arouse everything that he has, ace, to fight against the threat that looms upon the world, which was Malchus Yavan. So there are a lot of things going on in this pasuk. It's mentioned is going to be, this is verse 3 and 4, there are going to be three kings to Paras. Again, Daryavish has died. The nation of Modai is over. Now enters the new nation, Paras. It says here there are going to be three kings to Paras. And then there's going to be a fourth. And this fourth king is going to become extremely wealthy. But he's going to sense that he's threatened. Who is he threatened from? This new little guy that's coming up on the world scene. His name is Alexander of Macedonia. Who is Alexander? Alexander's father, he was a little country, Yavan. It wasn't really known to be much of a threat to the world. It wasn't a very significant country. His father really started with his father. Started the history, Philip. And Philip was a very brilliant leader, and he had a very talented son, Alexander, and he appointed Alexander at the young age of 18 years old to be the general over his army. And Alexander was ruthless. He was unconventional. He did a lot of very strange things that were. He invented certain technique of warfare. They had the discipline where the soldiers would march in rows with shields and these very unusually long spears. Spears can be even 25 feet in length, and they would march in formation against the enemy. And he always did what was unexpected. There are different accounts of what happened to Philip. So I think there are some opinions that are of the opinion that Alexander himself, his own son, killed his father. There was a fallout between father and son, and Alexander murdered. He poisoned, I don't know all the details, but he killed his father because there was some type of disagreement in how to proceed in their conquest of the world. And Alexander took for himself the throne, the leadership of the nation of Yavan. And it was known as Yavan. It was known as something else then. I'm not exactly sure, but whatever it was, he was a threat to the world. He began his conquest of the world, and this leader, the fourth leader of Paras, sensed that he was threatened by this young man, Alexander the Great, and therefore he took all of his wealth and Macedonia.
Yeah, but
Macedonia. Macedonia, yeah.
Mogdon.
Alexander Mogdon. Alexander Mogdon. So where did Yavin come to the picture? He took it over, and he assumed the name. But that's interesting that he assumed the name. He's from Mogdon, Macedonia. But later... Later, he assumed the name of Yavan. He became known as the nation of Greece, of Yavan.
There was no nation Yavan, of Greece.
Right, he made it. He created it. But why did he create it? Why did he select Yavan to represent his Malchus? Why did he select Macedonia to represent his Malchus?
Yavan is the Hebrew
yes.
of Ionia.
Yeah.
And the Ionians took control of Greece. Mm.
Uh-huh.
So that's how you get
Yavan. Okay, all right, okay. So there are different names to refer to the different... Okay, yeah. But for some reason, that stuck. That stuck That's what he selected. That's what he got, was known as. Even though he started off in very small, humble beginnings, just as, relatively speaking, of Macedonia, not of the entire region. But in any event, he was a threat to this person, Alexander, and Philip was a threat to the world leader, the world power. Paras, the fourth king of Paras, which we have yet to identify who this fourth king of Paras was, which we'll come to in a moment. And he took all of his wealth, he amassed all of his wealth, and he directed all of the money that he had control over to go to war against Alexander. Now the truth was, at the end, when he saw that he was not getting anywhere, he desperately wanted to make peace, this fourth king of Paras, with Alexander. He even was willing to relinquish a significant portion of his malchus and share power with Alexander Mokdon, but Alexander would not have it like that. Alexander wanted 100% control. He did not take any prisoners, and he brutally murdered the fourth king of Paras. Now let's see the mitzvahs and Rashi. Who is this fourth king? Who are the three? It says here they're going to be three kings, and they're going to be four kings. So before we look at the mitzvahs, before we look at Rashi, how would you, when you read this pasuk, based upon your background, what we've learned so far, and just basic things that we are familiar with, the real bare skeletons, what would you say? Well, we know the first king of Paras was Koresh, right? Everyone knows that. And we know that Koresh, that was followed by Achashverosh. Well, the first one was Koresh. It was followed by Achashverosh. Who exactly was Achashverosh is another story, but he was the second king. He wasn't the biological son of Koresh. He was some stable boy, and somehow through some type of rebellion, we know from the story of the Megillah that Megillah says that Achashverosh was not a biological heir to the throne of Koresh. He was a stable boy, and through some type of rebellion, he was able to seize power for himself. Okay, but he was definitely one of the kings. He was Melech Mehodu V'Yad Kush, mayor of 127 Medinos, so that we know that was the second one. And then we know that after Achashverosh, there was Daryavesh number two. Daryavesh ben Achashverosh HaParsi, which was, according to some opinions, the son of Esther Hamalka. Some say it was her biological son, some say she was like the foster mother, not necessarily the biological mother, but she had a major influence over this person, Daryavesh Hamadi, whether she was his son or whether she was his foster mother. That's three. And then what happened? I think basically after that, we assume from our childhood that after Daryavesh Ha ben Achashverosh HaParsi comes along Alexander the Great, Alexander of Macedonia, Alexander Mokdon, and he conquers Daryavesh, he kills him, or he takes over, and then begins the new tkufa of 180 years of Malchus of Yavon, who have kashlita over the world. So how then do you get this number four? It says here, after this person, Daryavesh Pasuk Aleph dies, V'yato emes agilucho, hinei oit shloish shemolochim oim dim lefaras. V'horavihi, who is this number four? Who is he? He's number four. He will become extremely wealthy, and he will use all of his money to fight against Alexander. So let's see over here the Mitsudos, one thing at a time.
I assume it's Koresh, that all is referring to the other three, the next three.
There are only three. The simple understanding, according to all the Mepharshim, is as far as we know from Chazal, who play a prominent role. We're going to have to find the fourth. The ones who play the prominent role are Koresh, Achashverosh, and Daryavesh, Achashverosh's son. Those are the prominent three. Those are all over Chazal. Those, and here it says, but the fourth king of Paras will amass enormous wealth and use it to fight. Who is number four? Let's see, Mesudas Al Beis, Pasuk Beis, Mesudas David, Emes. So for Davar Hamaskai Mecholi Baal Yishuneh, I'm telling you something. This is the way it's going to be. It's not going to change. Shloish Melachim. Who are the three kings? Im Koresh Hamoylech Ata, together with Koresh, who is ruling now. Because this nevuah is being said in the third year of Koresh. Remember, this perek is a continuation of perek Yud, and there really should not be a chapter break. He's just continuing his discussion. He's telling what happened. The Malach Gavril is telling him what he did in the first year of Daryavesh, but Daryavesh is long gone. It's now 4 years later. It's now, Daryavesh has died. It's 3 years into the Malchus of Koresh. Kodesh, and Koresh has suddenly suspended the permission for the Jews to return and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and he's telling him what's happened, and he's telling him three more kings, Oud Shlosh Malachim, besides Koresh. So that the Mitzvah right away is giving way, there's going to be a fourth. Let's see. And then Daryovish, his son, next Mitzudos, we're getting already confusing, let's get him confused, Vervi, who Daryovish, ben Achashverosh, Shuhu, so here Rashi explains, Shuhu Revihi, le Daryovish Hamadi, Shaloka Hamalucha Mival Shetzar, who Hoya Harish Mamalchi Mode Paras. So Rashi, so the Mitzudos here says something very simple. From all of the Mepharshim, he is the simplest. It's not necessarily fit very well into the Pasuk, but he says that the Paras is not really Paras. It's an alliance of Paras Umadai. So when we look at them together, there are a grand total of four kings. Daryovesh HaMadi, Koresh, Achashverosh, and Daryovesh HaParsi. Four kings.
Double counting.
He's what?
Counting Daryovesh the second twice.
He's counting Daryovesh, right, that's what he's doing in this passage. Who are the Shloish Malachim? Another three. Who are the other three? It says, Od. So the Mitzudos apologizes. Even though now he is speaking in the lifetime of Koresh, and if you're speaking in the lifetime of Koresh, the word Od is not really the best word. Od means there's going to be, besides what we are dealing with now, there's going to be an additional, there's going to be another one. No, that's not what it means. According to the Mitzvah, Od means together. Od in this context should be translated loosely, that together with what we have now, we're going to have another two. Od Shlosha Malachim. Od includes the current. It's not a literal translation, but that's what it says in the Mitzudos. It says here, Im Koresh HaMoylechata. That's what it is. It's Shloish Malachim together with Koresh HaMoylechata. That's what the word Od means according to the Mitzudos. Undim Lefaras, and the fourth, now when it says, like you said, double counting, VRV, when I say RV, we have to include with this the entire series, the entire set, which includes Daryovesh HaMadi, for a grand total of four. So the one who will amass the enormous wealth will be Daryovesh, the son of Esther, and he will be the one that will go to battle against Alexander, and he will be the one that will be willing to make peace and will be willing to relinquish control, but Alexander will not have it that way, and Alexander will put to death the son of Esther, Daryovesh ben Achashverosh HaParsi. This is the way the Mitzudos learns Pshat in the past. Now, if we look at Rashi, yeah?
He mentions in the first...
Daryovesh.
Right.
So it's four. It's three and it's four. In Achanami, so it's a unit. Paras Umadeh, it's only one of the Golios. There are four...
references to the previous...
Right. Right. But it's a different nation. Technically speaking, it's a different nation. So we always have that issue, is that there are four Golios. And the second is... It's a unit. Modai Uparas. And we discussed many times that there's a Medrash. So the Medrash says it's really four which are eight. Why is it four which are eight? Because each one of the four is really broken into two. Bavel is really two. The Kastim and the Babylonians. Bavel and the Kastim. The second, it's not just Modai, it's Modai is one. Paras is the second. Yavon is counted two. It's Alexander alone, Alexander Mokdon, and then the four kings that after he died, his Malchus was divided, splintered into many, not really four, really there were a lot more than four, but there are four major divisions, and among those four, there are really two. It's two, sometimes it's counted as three, sometimes it's counted as four, and sometimes it's counted even more, but basically there are two tekufos in the Golus of Yavon. Alexander the Great, when he controlled alone, and after his death, the remainder. And then when it comes to Edom is also divided into two. Rome, and Yishmael. So it's four, which are eight. But it's four. And what we're dealing with now is Modai Upara. Sometimes it's counted as one, and sometimes it's counted as two, and that's what this pasuk is doing. On the one hand, there's going to be, oh, Shloisha Molochim Umdim Lifaras, but yet we're counting four, and the fourth, which means it's not only Paras. Paras is all part of Modayu Paras with Daryovesh Hamadi. That is according to the Mitsudos David. Rashi adds a little interesting insight. Look very carefully at the Rashi Pasuk base. The Yinei Oud Shloshim Malachim Razal Rabbeinu Zichron Levracha Amru B'Seid Olam Ze Koresh V'Achashverosh V'Daryovesh. Three more kings, right? There are three kings that are going to come. I'm reading the Rashi Pasuk base.
Rashi
Pasuk base. Oy ze koresh v'achashverosh v'dayaveh shabon habayis umat hamlam revi. What does it mean? Revi? Revihi l'modi. Okay, that's exactly what we just learned. Okay, but aval b'sefer Yosef ben Gurion Josephus. Sefer Josephus Yosef ben Gurion kosov shahayilo ben l'koresh. Ah, Koresh had a son. Only did not he rule less more than a year. He ruled only for a few months. Shemolach tachtav lufnei meloich achashverosh ushmo bamvisha. Bamvisha. Okay, interesting. I had another son. So when it says here four, they're going to be, now we have a whole new interpretation of the pasuk. That makes now the pasuk fits very well. There's going to be another three kings right now, because in total there are going to be four kings to Koresh. If you count Modai, it will be five. Right now, the pasuk makes, you can read the translate of the pasuk literally. Right now, we're holding in the Malchus of Koresh. Guess what, Daniel? The Malach says to Daniel, there's going to be another three kings. Who are the other three kings? There's going to be Bamvisha. I do not know if I'm even pronouncing that correctly. Bamvisha. He's number one. Then will come Achashverosh. And then will come Daryovesh. So Daryovesh is the fourth from Koresh. We don't have to make the calculation built upon the foundation of Modai. Okay, this is what it says here in Rashi in his second interpretation. I saw in the art scroll, Daniel, there he says that according to secular records, there was another king after Daryovesh HaModi. And according to what it appears to say, I don't know, I'm not exactly sure all the details, I did not get a chance to look into the details, but it appears that Alexander did not necessarily kill Daryovesh. The one that was in control was Daryovesh's son. There was another king who ruled after Daryovesh ben Achashverosh, we'll call him Daryovesh ben Esther. He was the ruling leader at the time when Alexander the Great made his conquest of the world, and all the negotiations were between this son of Daryovesh and Alexander, and Alexander killed this son. Yeah.
I think this last point makes more sense for two reasons. One is Josephus, first of all, I don't know if anybody else knows of a king by that name.
Well, we have to study the secular.
I'm told kept good records. And not only that, he didn't live during that time.
Who did not live?
Josephus.
Oh, correct. But he had access to the best historical records of the time. He lived during the Churban Bayis Sheni. So he lived 420 years past. But the world wasn't so complicated in the way it was today. They didn't have Google, but yeah.
It was Daryovesh II.
Yes.
Who allowed the reconstruction of the Beis HaMikdash to continue.
Correct.
And it doesn't seem fair that he would be the one to be the end of the Persian Empire.
Well, we don't know how these things work.
I know that.
Life is not fair.
It's not fair. I know, going out on a limb with that. But I'm just saying it would make more sense in that respect.
Okay, I don't know. I'm just telling you what it says in the article. The article takes note, if I'm not mistaken, that there was another king after Daryovesh. They have his name, and we have it here probably. There was another king after Daryovesh, and he was the one. So now the pasuk means very simply. If you read the pasuk, the od shlosh. So according to that interpretation, we're not counting. We're not taking into consideration this person bamvisha. Forget about him. He's out. He doesn't exist. And even if he exists, he's not important because he only ruled for a very short period of time. Yeah.
But then the word od makes sense.
Right. It makes sense.
He used bamvisha.
Well, it makes sense. But it makes sense according to the other interpretation. Either way, after Koresh, there are going to be four. So when is the besides Achashverosh and Daryavesh and
Koresh is now. He says Od.
One plus.
So Od means really there's an extra.
So the other three. No, Od is only on three.
No, but there's going to be a fourth.
And then at the end, and the fourth one. In the lifetime of the fourth one is when Alexander will control the world. Either way, he's going to be the fourth. If we're going to add number four to refer to...
Oh, it doesn't make sense.
It does make sense because after Koresh, there are going to be three more. The word Od is only going on the three. It's not going on the number four. Look at the pasuk. V'yata emes agil l'cha, hine od shloisha melachim oimdim l'faras. There are going to be three more kings. Besides Koresh. So the last one will be number four. They're going, besides Koresh, there are going to be three more kings. The last one will be number four. Who are the three more? According to Rashi, he's in a lot of trouble, because according to Rashi, there are only two more kings. Therefore, we have to count Koresh as one of the three kings. And when we say four, goes back from the time of Daryavish HaMadi. Goes back. According to Rashi's second interpretation, there are indeed going to be three more kings after Koresh. We're going to add one little guy, his name is Bamvisha, in between Koresh and Achashverosh. According to the other interpretation, there is no Bamvisha. Forget about him. The third additional king is going to be after Daryavish ben Esther. He's going to be, and he will be the fourth king from Koresh. So Sach HaKol, if you want to put everything together, if you want to take what it says here in Rashi from Josephus, if you want to take what it says in the notes, there are five kings. They're going to be a total, not like we've been taught that there were only five kings. It's just that who are significant. We only count leaders that had a significance. But if you take everything together and you say they're all true, which it's not necessarily a contradiction, there will be a total of five kings in the Malchus of Paras. There is Koresh, Bamvisha, Achashverosh, Daryavesh ben Esther, and then the son of Daryavesh ben Esther, in whose lifetime Alexander the Great ascended and conquered the world. When it says here in the Pasuk, now from those five, who are significant, according to Rashi's first interpretation, only three. Bamvisha and Daryavish's son, we don't even want to deal with. They're not important. And according to Rashi's second interpretation, the ones that are significant are, there are four that are significant. There is Bamvisha and the next three. According to the other interpretation, Bamvisha is not significant, but it's Achashverosh, Daryavish, and Daryavish's son. So, with Koresh, and you have to adjust the number three and the number four to reflect which ones of these five do you want to, which are six. Now it's five, which are six when you take into consideration Daryavesh HaMadi. So we have a grand total of this Kufa if we assume everyone is correct, no one is coming to fool us, and there is truth to everything that's being said here. In this Kufa of Madi or Paras, you have a total of six. Daryavesh.
Six kings, you mean?
Six kings. Daryavesh HaMadi, he's the one who took power from Balshetzar, bubble came to an end. Daryavesh HaMadi. Then comes Koresh, the son-in-law of Daryavesh HaMadi. Daryavesh was 62 years old. Koresh was a young man, a very young man when he took over from his father-in-law, from the Shver. The Edim was the Yerush, the Malchus, from the Shver. And then we have Rashi, this Bamvisha, which ruled for a very short period of time. What happened to him is a big mystery. And then comes Achashverosh, which was not even Mizera Hamalucha, the Gemara tells us. He was a stable boy. He was a stable boy, and somehow, Mishacharein, he was able to take over the Malucha. Then comes Esther's son, also was a bizarre type of Esther's son. How did she get in over here? This whole story. She comes in, and then comes another person, which we have his name. It's recorded in the history books who he was, which appears to be correct. It was another son that ruled for some period of time after the death of Daryavesh, and during his time was when Alexander the Great made his final conquest and controlled the rule for real. Yeah. Nothing to say? Can't be.
Just
okay.
He's not a troublemaker.
Yeah. Okay.
How old is Daniel now?
Daniel now is old man.
He's going back to Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
Daniel was taken as a young boy. So we can. He was taken. No, he's not so old. So this, everything here is taking place 52 years. So let's say you say he was 10 years old. So 62, 63, 70. We don't know exactly how old he was when he was taken as a servant. He was taken 11. He was taken in the time of Kibush Yohanya. Yohanya was 11 years before the Churban, and this now is 52 years after the Churban. So that is already 63 years since he was taken to Bavel. How old was he when he was taken? Let's say he was 10 years old. So that would make him 73, at least 73 years old. I'm just making up numbers. It's at least 63 years since he was taken by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, this story taking place when Koresh is Daryavesh. When Daryavesh, we're going now 3 years after Daryavesh, the third year of Koresh, approximately. Daryavesh took control of the world, Modai, exactly 52 years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Add approximately 3 years to that. So we're up to 55. Right, 55 years. This was, Daniel was taken to Bavel 11 years before the Churban. So that brings us to 66. How old was he when he was taken to Bavel? Let's make believe he was 10 years old. I don't know, could be he was young, could be he was older. I think it's a fair assumption. These were young boys, they were young boys that were taken in their youth to be trained. So assume that he was 10 years old, that would make him 76 years old approximately. I'm just guessing. How long did he live for? That's another story. Different opinions in the Mefarshim. If he died about 18 years later, during the time, less than 18 years later, during the time of Ahasuerus, which was about 10 years later, he died. That would make that he would have died approximately at the age of 86.
What are you talking about?
Daniel. But some learned that he lived all the way until the time of...
Wait. The year is 66 plus 18.
Yeah, 66, that's 10 years old, so you bring it up to 76.
He's 76 plus 18.
Plus another, years. No, not 18, another 10 years. When did he die? If you learn that he died during the Purim story, that was 11 years later. That would make him 87, approximately 87. But some said that he lived much longer. He lived all the way to the time of Daryavesh. Daryavesh, which would make him.
Was he at the time when they started doing the?
Yes. Well, that's the question. But that's the question. Some opinions said that he was not. He died already before. They died during the time of Ahasuerus. That he died in the middle of the Purim story. He was killed by Haman. Haman had him killed. Other opinion says, no, he lived. He survived that period of time, and he lived all the way until the time of Alexander the Great. He lived all the way until the time of Daryavesh, until the fall of Daryavesh, which would make him about in the 90s, 100. So it's not so... Okay, it's within the realm of reality. Just yesterday, a woman died, 116 years old. The oldest known woman in the world. The record was a woman who was 122 years old. That was in 1997. There was a woman in 1997. She was known that she was records 122 years old, 123 years old. And this woman died yesterday. She was 116 years old. So you see, it's possible.
And she smoked.
She smoked. She lived in Atlanta. She's an American. Atlanta. She's in a nursing home in Atlanta. All right. Let's go back to the text. Okay, so this is Rashi and this is the Mitzudas. Okay, let's go one more, another pasuk. What's going to happen during this? So we learned during this pasuk that he's going to arouse. He's going with pasuk Beis, that he's going to take all of his wealth. This Daryavesh ben Esther, or it refers to a king which comes after Daryavesh ben Esther. He's going to use his wealth and his influence to gather together the world army to fight against Yavan, Alexander the Great. But he will not succeed. Pasuk Gimel. The Omad Melech Gibor. Who is the Melech Gibor? We don't have to guess. Rashi right away says, Biyavan Melech Gibor, Biyavan, who Alexander smoked on. Alexander of Macedonia. And the Mitzvah says the same exact thing.
Excuse me, what Pasuk Gimel?
I'm on Pasuk Gimel. Perek Yud Aleph. Pasuk Gimel in the text and Rashi. If Amal Melech Gibor,
Perik Yud Aleph,
yeah.
Oh,
no wonder. Amal Melech Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk Gimel.
Gimel.
Amal Melech Gibor, Moshal Mimshol Rav. The words being used in these pesukim are very. They're not. A lot of the words are not the way we are familiar. The usage, the word usage is a little bit more complex, sophisticated than we're accustomed to, but it means simply a very moshal mimshol rav, a very powerful kingdom, a very powerful leadership. The asa kiritzono, he will do whatever he wants. No one will get in his way. He was a dictator. He was a tyrant. He was unconventional. He invented new techniques of war, new weapons. They're weapons that first appeared on the scene that never existed until his time. You have to study the encyclopedias, different types of spears and shields and formations and discipline, and they were suicidal. He had all these strange techniques. And when he fought, his technique was always to attack the strongest fortifications of the enemy. Normally, when you ask a general, they would tell you, well, you go for the weakest point. And once you get into the weakest point, then you're able to conquer the city from within. We find by the Crusades. If you study the Crusades, since I spent a lot of time, the Crusades, that's what they did. The whole koyach of conquering these massive walled cities. The Christians, to conquer these cities that were controlled by the Muslims, was they found the weakest point. They searched they studied the walls, they studied their fortifications, and they found the weakest point. They went to great effort to discover the weakest point and to take advantage. That's how the Christians fought the Muslims in the time of the Crusades. That's not the way Alexander fought. Alexander Lahachas would go and attack the strongest fortifications. Whatever he saw there was an intensity, that's where we're going to go. Why did that work? I don't know. That's how it worked. And he went with force. Maybe it was psychological. You have to talk to a... West Point, and understand the psychology behind this approach, and that was his approach. The Asa Kiritzona, let's see the Mitzudos David. The Asa Kiritzona, Ki Yareg is Daryavish, he killed Daryavish, V'yichbaish as Paras, and he conquered, and he conquered Paras. So he took over world leadership. Pasik Dalit, okay. Let's just see over here, Rashi, Pasuk Gimel, before we go further. Rashi, Pasuk Gimel, V'yomar Melech Gibor, Kev B'yavan, who Alexander is smoked on, V'yosek Yeritzono, B'dar Yavesh. He conquered the Yavesh, Melech Paras, V'ayargehu, V'yikabel Malchuso, he took the Malchus from Dar Yavesh, V'yishtabdu, Parsoyim, Livonim, and he forced the Persians to become part. He absorbed them into his kingdom, the kingdom of Yavan. Pasuk Dalet. Uchamdoi, and as he stood firm, Tishaver Malchuso. Suddenly he died. Alexander the Great died at the age of either 32-33. The question, very mysterious circumstances surrounding his death. Dr. Friedman told me that he died from some type of disease.
India.
Some learn that he was poisoned. It's a mystery. The different studies done exactly why he died, but he died suddenly, and he was only 33 years old. They say that when he looked at his malchus, he cried because he had nothing more to conquer. He had nothing more to do. He had achieved such success. Life was boring. And what happened? He had no children. At least he had no known children at this time. He had an illegitimate child, a mamzer. He had an illegitimate, and he had another. When he left over a woman that was pregnant, when he died, I don't know all the names, all the details, but when he died, he left over a woman that was pregnant, and it was only discovered later on that the father of this Muberes was Alexander, and he had another son that was illegitimate, and these two sons made trouble. They wanted. One of them was killed. They were viewed as a threat. One was killed. One got older, survived, made some trouble. But the point was, on his deathbed, he did not die suddenly, Alexander. He knew that he was dying. He died, relatively speaking, over a short period of time, but he was aware that he was dying, and he put his house in order by telling who he wants to take over, his loyal generals. He had seven bodyguards. He had seven bodyguards who he trusted with his life, which is a very big chiddush. That Alexander, you have to understand the way the world worked in those times. You didn't trust anyone with your life, but he trusted these seven people with his life, and to some of them he gave. They were very obviously very powerful and talented people. He gave over his malchus, and of course, they fought with each other for the rest of their lives. Why Alexander only gave me half the world? Why didn't give me the whole world? No one was happy. So now you're not happy just receiving. You have the whole world. Can you imagine the whole world? The whole world. Why did he only give me 25%? It's not fair. I want 100%. And they so they did for the rest of their lives. They fought with each other.
One gets Monroe.
The malchus broke. Visechotz means to shattered. It's a very powerful, not split. It's a much more powerful word. It means to shatter. It's a power. It has a connotation. The malchus was shattered. It wasn't just stop. Okay, we're going to split, right? Monroe and Williamsburg is a split. This is a shattering. It's unsettling. It's to shatter. So the arba ruchos hashomim, to the four corners of the world. The lola achariso, the pasuk says it did not go to his children. This was a very big pegima. This is a very big disgrace to a world leader, not to have a child to whom to give over your malchus. This represents failure. Not to have a child. He didn't expect to die at the young age of 33, not to leave over an heir. But v'lola achari, so it did not go to someone that comes after him, meaning a child. This is a code word for a child. V'lo chimashlo asher mashal. And those that would take over his throne will not have the same success. They will not have the same dominance as his. There's their predecessor, Alexander. V'lo chimashlo asher mashal. They will not rule the way he ruled. Kisinoseish malchuso. Again, this is another word which means similar to the word v'sechotz. Another word which means it will be shattered. It's another inyan akira. It's in the mitzudos tzioni explains to be uprooted. Kisinoseish doesn't mean shatter. It means to be uprooted. The word before sechotz is to shatter. The Mitzudos Tzion there says chaluka, but it's a chaluka which with a stronger connotation. Here it to be ki sinoseish malchuso ule acherim, and the pasuk goes on to say milavad ela. It's a very important point because historians when you go, I once looked this up in Wikipedia on what happened to the malchus of Alexander. So you know, Wikipedia, you know, it's the authority today, even though a lot of it is sheker. But it says therefore. There were only four kingdoms. The world was divided into four kingdoms. The pasuk does not say that. The pasuk here says, and besides those four, there were more. They were insignificant. They were smaller, little pockets, little city-states here and there. But the world was not as is commonly presented in the encyclopedia and history books. At least what it says here in the pasuk. In the encyclopedia books, it says Alexander the Great died. The world was divided into four parts, four different major kingdoms, and they had influence over the entire world. The pasuk doesn't just say that. It says a little bit more. How it's to be understood obviously requires great study. But it says there are four, and uli acherim milavad ela, more little city states besides this. If you study, I've seen some of the Jewish history books that I don't know, they just ignore what it says here, four, and they say only three. They study history and they look at the details, they look at the map, and they say there are really only three major regions. Three major generals, and they were at war with each other, and they seemed to ignore the fourth, and they said that was really toughle to the other ones, and it was a small city-state, and so on and so forth. But on other source, they know they do take, they divide up the map, and they have all the names, and they say it was four. But, okay, well, here we're really dealing with the Pasuk, and the Pasuk says four plus a few more. Let's see the Mesudos David, Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet, run through this very quickly, then we'll stop. So when he becomes extremely powerful, when he succeeds, he reaches his peak, his malchus will be broken, Yamus Alexander, he will die. Alexandros. For his malchus, we run the four different parts. What are they? The Haim. So here the Mitzvah says, Roma, Rome, Umitzraim, Egypt. Those are the Egyptian Greeks. Those are that's one very important. It's Talmai HaMelech. Talmai, that plays a very significant role in the Hanukkah miracle and in the entire history of, as far as we are concerned,
Alexandria.
Alexandria, correct. The Eretz Yisrael, this is very interesting. Eretz Yisrael, that's Syria. When it says here Eretz Yisrael, it really means Syria. It means also Bavel. Uparas, and then Persia. So that's how the Mitzudas breaks it up. Roima, Mitzrayim, Eretz Yisrael, which includes the north, Syria, Antioch, with together with Bavel, and then Paras, Persia. That's how the Mitzudas breaking up. Kamashom Alamala. V'lo lachadi. So when it says here, it will not go lachadi. So v'hamalchus ha'ila lo yachad lebonov. It will not go to his children. The Nikroim Bahabonim Acharis. Children are called Acharis. Al Kihemon Nishodim Acharavim. They come after the father, Vachain of the Acharischem, Besiros Dona. We have other psukim which refer. Vloikim Moshlo. Hamalchios Ahem Lo Yimshlum Memshal Rav. Kimemshelis Alexandros. Kisinoshis Malchusa Kimalchus Alexandros. Tachlik Lal Malchios Amum Lamala. Lagam Lamalchios Acharim Kitanim Lvat. Since each leader is limited in territory, only has a certain region, you're limited in what you can do. Every region has its natural resources and people that can provide various skills. So if you only have one part of the world and you don't have cheap labor, you're in a lot of trouble. If you only have services and you don't have other talents, so you are in a lot of trouble. Therefore, you're very limited. Okay, now let's Rashi. We'll stop Rashi in Pasuk Dalet. V'chshamdo tisha malchusa k'shiyaschazik harbe v'yamen al cheskosa tisha malchusa shiyamos v'sochetz la baruchos hashamayim k'osu b'sefi ben Gurion. Okay, this Josephus shecholak malchusa li'arbo roshim mimishpachtoi. So he says from his family. Like you said, Josephus, where is he getting his information from? He's 400 years too late. He's 400 years after it happened. So where is he getting his information from? And he's saying, there's a lot of discussion. Josephus is a very controversial history book. Who was it written for? You know, you write for the person that is paying you.
Yeah.
It was written for... He was hired to write it for fun. He was hired to write it. So there was an agenda. There's an agenda, and also he also had an agenda. They had tainus on him that he, Masada, he was a leader, and everyone committed suicide, and he didn't commit suicide. He wanted to ingratiate himself with the Chachamim, did not want to wear. He was a very controversial person, a very complicated life. And who he wrote it for, so there are many different factors which go into understanding what it says in the books of Josephus. Then it's called Yosifun. That's a different book altogether. There's a book called Yosifun, which was, we don't even know who wrote it. It was written by seemingly a Shomer Shabbos, someone Orthodox, what we call a, who basically just took out the Jewish stuff. Because Josephus wrote a lot of secular history, which is not relevant for Jewish history. So there's someone who went and condensed and rewrote Josephus, his books, from a Jewish point of view, and it's called Yosifun. Yosifun, and that's a different book. It's a different book which is based on Josephus, and there's some embellishments, some things that are missing, which also is a subject of much discussion. Here it says, this corresponds to Rashi as Kedarka. It's very midrashic. Rashi always likes to throw in a medrash whenever he can, at least in Ksuvim, in the Vilna Ksuvim. And it's going now to what we learned in the beginning of going back to both Perites and Perikhes, where we had the vision of the four different creatures, not the four creatures, and the Nomer, the leopard. The leopard represented Yavan, and the leopard had four wings. And the four wings correspond to the four different members of the family that we received the Malchus from Alexander the Great. Shero Daniel v'aro, and behold, Chavya Achari, another creature, Kinomer, that looked like a leopard. The law, and this leopard, Gapin Arba, had four wings, di which oaf al gaba, which it would fly with. I'm reading the Rashi Pasuk Dalet. The Arba Roshin Lechevsa, and the four heads of this creature, Himshel Zeb Mizrach, Zeb Mariv, Zeb Sef, Zeb Darom, and those four different wings, which it would fly with, correspond to, we learned before, correspond to the four members of the family which received the Malchus. There were for another vision in Perikhes where we have the he-goat. And the he-goat, the tsofir, had one horn. That one horn was Alexander, and then the horn was shattered, and in place of that one horn came out four small horns. There's a parallel to what it says here. The ta'alena chazos dalit tachtecha b'karnoi shel tsofir hasoir, in the place of that creature. V'lo l'achriso, v'lo tava ha'mamshol l'bonim, v'lo l'akot with children, l'bnei mishpachta achriso, e'en noifel el al loshen bonim. The word achriso, like them too, this is only first to children. The same pasuk that was quoted by the Mitzvahs. And in that pasuk in Amos, the word there, Achrischem, refers to the sons and daughters. They'll not be so successful like Alexander's. Okay, so therefore that is the end of the Malchus of Alexander and his four successors. And then we're going to learn for the end of the parak. It's a very difficult parak, extremely difficult, where basically there are going to be there are going to be world wars between two of the four. Two of the four means the general who took over the north, which includes Syria, mainly Syria and Eretz Yisrael, and the Seleucid kingdom. And they're also known by the name of Antiochus. What?
That was the capital, Antioch.
And the kings were named Antiochus. Syria. And the worst of the four was the fourth. Antiochus the fourth was the one who's called Antiochus HaRasha. He was the king that was living during the time of the Hanukkah miracle. He's the one that brought about the miracle, because he's the one that issued all of the decrees which brought about the miracle. And also that family, also the Demetrius. There were three names which always repeat themselves in that Malchus. Seleucid, all the various forms.
Seleucid is an adjective.
So what's the name? Seleucus. Seleucus, Antiochus. How do you say it in English, Antiochus?
Antioch,
like that.
Antiochus, the name of the capital was Antioch. Antioch is the Syrian capital. That was a major fortification. And Demetrius. And there's Antiochus the first, the second, the third, the fourth. There is Seleucus the first, the second, the third. And they have all these other funny names added onto them. And their wives have all these funny names that it's hard to pronounce. And we have Demetrius the first, the second. So we have a whole series of three names coming from that part of the world, from Syria, which pretty much controls Eretz Yisrael as well during most of the 180 years that will follow. More than 180, a little bit more, because Rome didn't really come to rise until a little bit later than that, but basically for the next 180 years. But then down in the south, we have the Egyptian Greeks. You always hear them talk about Hanukkah. The Syrian Greeks. That's just in the north. Then you have a whole world. There are probably even more in number of the Egyptian Greeks. The Egyptian Greeks, which is Talmai. The Talmai 1, 2, 3. In English, it's known as
Talmai.
Talmai with the PT. And there's the first, the second, the third, and a whole long history, and basically war after war after war. The Egyptian Greeks are at war with the Syrian Greeks for 180 years, non-stop, at each other's throats, and Eretz in the middle. They are the collateral damage of these two, of these wars taking. And what about the other ones? The other kings? We don't hear about them. They don't play much of a role. But it says it was divided into four parts.
They existed, but they
don't play much of an important role.
Jewish history, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. So they're on the sidelines. It's quiet, still eight. And for the next 100, and we're going to go. These psukim are very appropriate for this time of the year, because we're going to go a few psukim later on. We're going to go a couple down, and then we're going to get to Antiochus IV, Hanukkah. And we're going to see what the pasuk here says in Daniel about the miracle of Hanukkah. All of the Ramazim of Hanukkah are found here in the psukim that are coming soon. Okay.